Jesus, we look forward to your return where you will finally set all things right forever. Father, as we sing these songs of worship to you together, God, coming from different places, some of us are in a really good place right now. Some of us are in a really hard place. Some of us are mourning the passing of family so recently and many other things, God, to be able to declare these truths together. It's really special. Father, we thank you for that. God, as we turn now to your word, as we dig into what you have for us this morning, we pray that you would lead and guide us, that you would teach us, God, that you would open our hearts and our minds to hear from you, that you would form us in the image of Jesus, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen. Thank you, worship team. That was awesome this morning. Let's begin. We're just going to dive right into a passage of scripture that we're going to be looking at this morning, Matthew chapter 6. And we're not going to have it on the screen for you today, so if you have it on your in your Bibles or on your phones. But if you just want to sit and listen, maybe close your eyes and just imagine the scene, imagine Jesus speaking, I'd encourage you to do that. Matthew chapter 6, verses 5-13. And again, Jesus is standing here and he's teaching. You imagine he's standing in the middle of that kind of arid Middle Eastern area. There's dust on the ground, palm trees. He's standing, there's a crowd around him, and his disciples ask him to teach them how to pray. Jesus, teach us how to pray. And he says these things to them. When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. When you pray, go into your room, close the door, pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. When you pray, don't keep babbling on and on like the pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Don't be like them. For your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we've forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Over the last number of weeks, we've been looking at this series, God's Faithful Presence, in and through the church. And we're kind of jumping off from a book that Pastor Dennis read. It talks about seven disciplines for the church on mission. And we're exploring what it means for the church to be on mission with God. What does it look like for us to do that? What kind of things should we care about? How should we be organizing our lives if we want to be on mission with God? What kinds of things do we need to be about as we seek to be building God's kingdom with him? If we want to be a part of that, the disciplines and the practices that we need to cultivate as individuals and together as the body of believers. Because as we talked about a number of times over the last few weeks, mission doesn't happen by accident, right? I'm not so amazing that just walking around being me is impressing everyone and showing them who Jesus is all the time. It doesn't happen by accident. We have to choose. We have to engage. We have to dig in. We have to be ready. Following Jesus, digging into what he has for us, is not automatic. It's not a given. We have to choose to follow him. We have to choose to invest in the things that matter to him. Because those are the things that actually matter to us, or should. We focus on all kinds of stuff. We get distracted by all kinds of things. But the things that Jesus cares about, those are actually the things that are the best for us. And what those things are, that's what we need to be about, because that's the best possible life that we can have. He created us. He knows how we're supposed to live, what the best possible, most fulfilled, most incredible life looks like. He made us. He knows what that is. It's a life lived with him. It's a life lived together with him, on mission with him, bringing life and hope and love and the gospel to everyone and everything around us with him. That's what it's supposed to look like. But we're often not very good at it. Or at least I'm not very good at it. You're all fine, I'm sure. But I struggle to put things in the right order, to care about the things that Jesus cares about, to invest my time and energy in the places that matter to Jesus. And so I need to be disciplined. We need to be disciplined. We need to be intentional. We need to be purposeful in our lives. And that's what we're trying to dig into here. So we can be that faithful presence, God's faithful presence that our world so desperately needs. And so for the last few weeks, we've been looking at some of these disciplines that are critical for the life of the church and for us as individuals. We looked at the discipline of communion, regularly and purposefully practicing community and submission by taking communion together in that confession, in that acknowledging Jesus. That discipline of reconciliation, restoring relationships, bringing healing by bringing Jesus into the middle of our hurts and our disagreements in our lives, in our church, and in our world. We talked about the discipline of proclaiming the gospel, the fact that we actually need to say words with our mouths out loud to other people, talking about the gospel, what it is, who Jesus is, telling them that Jesus died for them, that he loves them. We talked about the discipline of being with the least of these. Being present with the least of these, and how that is the poor and the disenfranchised in our society. We have many, many, many people in that world. But it's anyone who is hurting, anyone who is lost needs us to be present with them so we can be that love of Jesus with them. We talked about last week the discipline of being with children, teaching them, training them, showing them the love of Jesus, raising them up in the truth. Our most important and vulnerable part of our community. And I hope you felt challenged. Because I've felt challenged. It's been a huge challenge for me to recognize these places that I'm weak. To recognize these areas that I don't care enough about. That I'm not disciplined in. These areas that I need to invest. It's exciting and it's scary because it's going to force me to readjust my priorities. It's going to force my life to look different if I want to be about what Jesus is about. I'm going to have to change some things. The things I want to spend time doing. But it's good. It's good. And these disciplines are all great. They're all important. We all need to dig in to all of them. But I'd encourage you, as we're kind of coming to the end of this, to really think and really pray about one. Which one of those disciplines does God need you to dig into? Pray about it. Ask him to show you where you need to invest. Is it being with the least of these? Is it proclaiming the gospel? Is it reconciliation? What's the discipline that you need to grow in? And that as you do that, we are strengthened as the church. We all need to grow in all these things, of course, but what's God laying on your heart most clearly? Think about it, pray about it, and then talk to someone about it. Share that journey with them. Seek that support and accountability, because again, we are this in this together. We are the church together, and we need to be strengthened by the areas that you're growing in. Pray about it. Ask. But this week, we're coming kind of the end of this series, and we're going to be diving into something really exciting in the summer. And we're going to talk about one final discipline this morning. And really, this is the one that is the most important. It's all of these disciplines are very important, but this one is a little bit different. Because this discipline is in and through and around and before and after and all of these other disciplines. This discipline is the foundation of all these other disciplines. It empowers everything else that we do. It's present in all of them, but we have to treat it separately, because without it, if we don't cultivate this discipline, everything else we do will be lost. Everything else we do will be a waste. We're going to look at the discipline of kingdom prayer. Prayer is the most important thing we can do. All the other disciplines we talked about matter a lot, but prayer is the most powerful and effective thing that we, as believers, as the church, can spend time doing. Prayer changes everything. It transforms everything. Our focus, our purpose, our effectiveness, our hearts, our needs, our wants, our goals, our hurts, our disagreements. Prayer is the answer to all of it. Kingdom prayer. Prayer is the most important thing. Absolutely. Totally. Probably. Feels weird, right? I mean, we know that it's right. We know what I'm saying is true. Prayer is the most important thing. We know that. We would say that very readily. Yes, prayer is important. It's the most important thing. It's good. That's what we're supposed to say. Prayer is the most important thing, but it feels weird. Because we're not doing anything. Right? Aren't we supposed to do something? You see it on Facebook and other places all the time, that the joke that prayer is just kind of a throwaway thing, a meaningless platitude, the memes and the pictures of maybe a starving child in a war-torn country saying, "Help us," and a picture of a smiling, wealthy person responding, "Sending our thoughts and prayers." Prayer's silly. It doesn't change anything, right? It's not doing anything. How is it helping that child? "I'll be praying for you." We've thrown it out. As we're walking away, we've all said it. But do we do it? Sometimes it's almost just a way to end a conversation. We don't really mean it. We don't follow through. Or maybe I'm just revealing a little too much about myself right now. I totally don't do that. Never, never done that before. I've heard other people do that, though. And does it matter if I do or don't, though? Does prayer change anything? What's it for? It's important. We know that. Somehow. But I mean, God doesn't change, right? He's the same yesterday and today and forever. The Bible said that. God doesn't change his mind. So what are we asking him to change things for? Now we've dug a hole. Prayer isn't doing anything, and prayer doesn't change anything. Uh-oh. I don't know if this is where we're supposed to be on a Sunday morning. Okay, let's dig our way out of this. If only there was someone who could teach us what prayer is for. If only. Well, you know where we're going. Matthew chapter 6. We're going to read it again. Matthew chapter 6. Jesus talks to us. Because we need to understand this, because these are real questions. These are questions that I have. What are we doing when we pray? What is happening? Jesus thought it was a big deal. He took time by himself to pray. He would often go off by himself in the middle of big, important ministry times. Thousands of people gathered, and he would disappear to pray. Right before he's crucified, he spends the whole night praying. It matters. But how? Matthew chapter 6. When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. I tell you, they've received their reward in full. When you pray, go into your room. Close the door. And pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. When you pray, don't be like the pagans who love to babble on and think they will be heard because of their many words. Don't be like them. Because your Father knows what you need before you ask. So then pray like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. We call this the Lord's Prayer. This is Jesus telling us how to pray. And in telling us how to pray, he shows us so much of why we pray. Jesus' followers ask him to teach them how to pray, and this is what he lays out for them. And even before he gets to the prayer, he tells us so much about ourselves and what we do when we come to God, where our natural tendencies lies and where prayer kind of gets off track. He starts right away in verse 5, don't be like the hypocrites praying in public. In verse 7, don't babble on and on thinking more words will get you what you want. Prayer isn't about proving something to God or to anyone else. It's not about impressing him or anyone else. And it's not about earning something from him or being entitled to anything from God. If I pray hard enough, if I use enough words, then he has to give me what I want. If I have enough faith, then he'll give me what I want. I didn't get the answer I wanted because I didn't pray hard enough or long enough or well enough. I didn't have enough faith, so God couldn't answer me. Jesus is saying, stop. Stop all of that. The Father knows what you need before you ask him. Before you ask him. And even better, he knows what you actually need. I have things that I think I need, things that I'm worried about. He knows what actually matters, though. He knows the things that will actually take me to the place that he wants me to be. In my relationship with him, in the world, in the ways that I'm able to represent him. He knows what's best. He knows before you ask. He loves you. He cares about you. And so all of that praying loudly, praying long, using lots of words shows that we don't trust him. We're trying to convince him. Trying to earn something from him. And Jesus is saying, stop. He knows what you need before you ask, and he loves you and he cares about you. So pray like this. Our Father, right there at the beginning. It's about relationship. It's about community. It's not my Father because it's not about me. And it's our Father because He is our Father. He loves us like His children, as His children. But it's about Him and about us, our Father, who art in heaven. Your name is holy. God, you are perfect. God, you are our Father. You love us, and you are so far beyond us all the same. You are holy. You are separate. You are perfect. You are incredible. You are worthy of praise and worship. We worship in our prayer. We acknowledge that He is God and He is good. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. You are our Father. You are holy. You are what matters. And so, your will, your plans, your purpose is what matters. Everything I want, everything I'm going to pray about, I put it under you. And what you want, your kingdom, your purpose is my first concern. And then, feed us, forgive us, protect us, meet our needs. Prayer isn't about us. Prayer is about worship. Prayer is about relationship. Prayer is about submission. And prayer is about mission. This is such a different way to pray than I think we so often do, than I so often do. I get stuck in my own head, in my own world, in my own worries and concerns, and I try so hard to control everything around me. I try to control everything around me, everything in our lives, the people, the circumstances, even for good things, not just for selfish things all the time. Even for good things. But we want to have that control because it makes us feel safe. And prayer just becomes this quick thing we throw out there so we can get on with it, so we can get back to doing things, so we can get back to controlling things. God, help me control things. We might start a meeting really quick. God, bless our decision. But have we really dug into what God wants? Have we spent that time together, listening, submitting ourselves, praying, you are holy, you are worthy, your kingdom come, your will be done? Or do we just want to pray quick so we can get going? So we can get on with it. I know different people have different personalities, but that's where my personality goes. I want to get doing stuff. I want to get on with it. And sometimes prayer, spending time in prayer, feels like an obstacle to me almost. It's like, well, okay, fine, yeah, we of course, because again, prayer is good, and we know prayer is good, so let's pray, but then let's get on with it. And I'm missing the point so clearly. I would never say prayer is a waste of time, but man, I would struggle. If someone wanted to start a meeting or something, just taking that time, sitting in silence and listening together, I would really struggle with that. But is there anything more important we could do? To listen to God and try to respond to where He's leading us. In Mark chapter 9, he tells us a story about the disciples encountering a person who was possessed by a demon. And even though they tried to cast it out, they could not. They were out doing their missionary work and trying to tell people about the kingdom of God. And they came upon this person. They tried to cast the demon out. They couldn't. And Jesus comes in and he frees this man of his burden. And the disciples are confused and frustrated. And they say, why couldn't we cast it out? They ask him that question, why couldn't we cast it out? And Jesus' answer to them is, this kind can only come out by prayer. And there's a lot of things going on in this story that are important, but one of them is the fact that while his disciples ask, why couldn't we cast it out? Jesus' answer, in a sense, is you never could. Why couldn't they cast it out? It's not for you to do. It's for God to do. This kind only comes out with prayer. It's not about you and what you can do. It's about what God is doing, what he can do. Why couldn't they cast it out? Because they can't and they never could. And neither can we. Why can't we control everything in our lives? Because we can't and we never could. We're not supposed to. Only God can. And so they should have prayed. God, you are holy. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. Give us what we need as you see fit. Give us today our daily bread. Just today, take care of us. How easily I follow the disciples trying to help God save the world. Trying to do it myself. Or if I'm honest, not even helping him save the world, but just make my life the way I want it to be. Make my life more comfortable, more convenient. It's so different what Jesus is teaching here. So different than how I pray, than how I approach prayer. We need to control. We want to control so badly. We're addicted to it. But real kingdom prayer is submitting to God, forcing ourselves to give up control, or recognizing we never had it in the first place. Turning control over to him, trusting him. In Philippians 4, Paul says, don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Don't be anxious about anything. That can't be right. There's some big things in our lives that we need to be anxious about. If I'm not anxious about it, who's going to be? Somebody needs to be anxious about these things. We need to worry. Where's our next meal going to come from? How is our job search going to go? We need to worry about these things. I need to be anxious about them so I can feel like I have some control. Don't be anxious about anything. In every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. This kingdom prayer is a big deal. It really is the most important thing we can do because it really does change everything. When we pray in this way, it really does transform everything because prayer shapes us. Prayer changes us. Prayer conforms us to God, to his will, to his plan. All these disciplines we've talked about depend entirely on prayer. Communion, reconciliation, proclaiming the gospel, being with the least, on and on, all of them depend on prayer. We depend on prayer. Because Jesus did. If Jesus depended on prayer, what on earth am I doing? If he only did what his Father told him to do, if he only said what his Father told him to say, what on earth am I doing? How on earth am I not always constantly devoted to prayer if Jesus himself relied entirely on it? Listening, worshiping, digging deep, asking, seeking, resting in him. We've been talking about these circles that God places us in, the close circle, our church and immediate family, the dotted circle, or the wider group of people that are kind of journeying with us, and the half circle, the world around us where we are guests. And prayer is such a huge part of all those places. In the close circle, we need to be connected together in prayer. We need to be seeking God together for his direction for us, that he would transform us into the people that he needs us to be, that he desires us to be. In that dotted circle, we pray together with people that are journeying with us that aren't maybe sure where they're at with God yet. We pray with them that God would disciple us together, that we would grow in our relationship with him together, whatever point of the journey we're on. And in that half circle, the place that we are guests, the place that we don't have the authority to just take charge all the time, prayer is one of the most powerful tools I've ever seen to connect with people. In my whole life, I have never once been denied when I've asked if I can pray for somebody. Never. It's scary every time to throw it out, can I just pray for you? It feels terrifying. And yet never once have I been denied. At the very worst, they'll humor me. But almost always, they are deeply appreciative of the prayer. And it'll open up a whole level of relationship and conversation as they talk about the things that they're struggling with and hurting with. And it's an opportunity for Jesus to come into that situation in such an incredible way. Prayer is everything. Prayer is everything. This kingdom prayer matters. It's about relationship with God and with one another. It's about submission to God and to one another. And it's about mission with God and with one another. Prayer really does change everything. Prayer really is the most powerful and significant thing we can do, and we need it badly. Let's learn how to pray together. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you that you're real. I thank you that you are present with us, God, that you choose to be with us, and that we can talk to you, and that you speak to us. God, I thank you for prayer, that we can have this relationship with you, that we can hear your voice, that we can speak our hurts and our concerns and our worries, the things that we struggle with. You want to hear all of it. You want to hear the things we're excited about, the things that we see you're doing, God. We want to worship you. We want to bring you praise. We want to acknowledge, God, that you are holy, that you are in heaven, that you are other, but you are our Father, and you love us and you care for us in the deepest and most intimate way possible. Father, forgive me when I have treated prayer like a throwaway, or I've treated prayer like a burden or a hurdle, something that gets in the way of doing stuff. God, teach me patience. Teach us patience, that we would stop, that we would take that time to allow you to speak, to allow you to shape and mold our hearts and our desires and the directions. God, we want to do good things. We want to be going in the right direction, but God, help us to stop and listen and allow you to lead us, God. Let us not get ahead of you, and God, let us use prayer to do that, to allow you to lead. Father, let us be a people of prayer, and help us, teach us, show us what prayer looks like. Help us to rely on it like Jesus did, to understand it like Jesus did, to desire it and love it like Jesus did. We thank you and we praise you. We ask your blessing in Jesus' name.